Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Well, we talked candy. Time to turn our attention to a bouquet of flowers for this Valentine's Day. Larry Mueller here. We'll be talking with Nicole Campbell, who is the owner of Petal Pusher Floral Studio, located in Green Bay. Nicole is the lead designer there. She also grows her own flowers when the weather allows, and is president of the Wisconsin and Upper Michigan Florist Association. So as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. Why do you love receiving or giving flowers? What are your favorite types to see in a bouquet? Or maybe you design bouquets yourself. Maybe you have questions about making your bouquet last a little bit longer. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. Nicole Campbell, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Of course. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
How'd you get involved in the floral industry?
Honestly, this was my very first job in high school. I needed to get a job. We were at the grocery store. They had a little floral department. And my mom said, hey, how about this? So I walked in and applied and fell in love with it. It's an industry. It's an easy industry to fall in love with.
Oh, yeah, for sure. How long is Petal Pusher, your business, how long has that been around?
It was originally started back in 1992. I started working for that owner, 96, something like that. And then I bought the business back in 2006. So it's been it's had quite a history.
That's a big, how'd you make that big decision?
He owned another business up in Door County and he was looking to simplify his life. Yeah. And I loved it. I couldn't imagine working anywhere else or doing anything else. So it just was kind of the right opportunity. And having worked within the business, I felt like I understood a little bit of what I was signing up for. Though I can say as a small business owner, you really never understand it till you live it. Because it's just, it's your life, you know, so, but it's wonderful.
And you have a staff?
I do, yes. There's about 12 of us total. A lot of them are part-time. A lot of them have other jobs, you know, school teacher, different things like that, and just help out part-time on the weekends. We do a lot of weddings and that sort of thing. So I'm really fortunate. I have a great, great group of ladies.
And a furry one, too.
Yes. Probably the biggest deal at our shop is our little shop kitty. Her name is Pippa Pepper. She has her own business cards. The governor stopped in to meet her. She has her own social media presence. She's kind of a big deal in a pint-sized little package.
What's her name?
Pippa Pepper.
Pippa Pepper. All right.
Yep. They're
at the Petal Pusher. Pippa Pepper at the Petal Pusher.
Yeah, say that three times fast.
So what's a typical day of work at work?
That's part of what's great about this job is that every day truly is different. We do daily deliveries for birthdays, get well, anniversaries. We do wedding and event work. We do funerals. So every day varies in terms of what it's comprised of. And then there's all the behind the scenes, you know, the processing of the flowers, the stocking the cooler, all of those things that go behind the scenes before we actually create the flowers. And then we have people that stop in the shop. We're located right on Broadway in downtown Green Bay. So there's people that just walk the sidewalk and pop into the different businesses and stuff. So the variety of it is part of what's, I think, so great about it.
How would you describe your style as now a floral designer? What's involved in it and how would you describe your style?
We are known for a very natural style. There's a lot of, you know, dyed and painted flowers that are out there in the market right now. We don't do much with that. We're really known for letting nature influence and guide our work. So we try to reinterpret, you know, the flowers in a beautiful way, but always being mindful of the fact that it's a natural product and we want it to stay connected to that. I think that's part of what's great about fresh flowers is it's bringing a little bit of nature into your home or your office or something. So we try to stay true to that aesthetic.
I was never any good at it. I mean, if I just bought some flowers and stuck them in a vase, and then there's usually some other little things that go along with it. It always looked like a mess when I did it.
Most people say that, but honestly, most people don't practice a lot. You know, we practice every day. How often have you practiced designing flowers? It is kind of a practice makes perfect job. But there are some basic fundamentals that can help a lot. If you buy a bouquet at the grocery store, like, what do we do with this now? And proper care and handling is very important with that. But from a design standpoint, starting with greenery, starting with something that gives you structure in the vase first and then adding flowers is always a better approach. Most people go backwards. They put the flowers in first and then they add the greens at the end. You want to start with your greenery first, and then that'll help hold the flowers in place to some degree.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'd always stick the flowers in first and then try to put in those fronds or whatever they were around the outside. Yeah. It never really worked very well. Oh, my gosh. So you're a natural. The natural style. And obviously it must be pretty, you've been doing this for a while now. You've been your own business since 2006. So you must be successful or you wouldn't be in business.
No. And it can be a challenging industry simply because of the fact that what we sell is a perishable product. You know, so you really have to be mindful of your inventory and turning it over in an appropriate timeline so that it's fresh flowers going out the door to your customers. So it has its quirks because of that. But yeah, we feel very fortunate to have been as successful as we have been.
So to what extent does social media these days play a role, or your website, or any of that business? And as far as the business side of it.
It's huge. It is absolutely huge for us. Because what we do is very visual, being able to put our images of our work in front of customers on Instagram and Facebook and that sort of thing is amazing. And having that website presence where people have the convenience of just ordering online or going through our wedding galleries on our website is huge. So that really, we have tried very hard to stay at the forefront of that and be current with what avenues are out there for social media, because we realize how important it is to us. We haven't jumped on TikTok yet, but I think we probably need to eventually. we really treasure that. And my husband works in IT. He has a real job, if you will, outside of the small business ownership. So his IT background is a huge help too, because he's great at paying attention to what we should be looking at next and keeping our website up to date and all that wonderful stuff.
And here we've got V-Day coming here, Valentine's Day, a week away or so. And this time, this is your Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm. It is our Super Bowl. It is our single busiest day of the entire year. And I think it's kind of coincidental that they've moved the Super Bowl to be very close to Valentine's Day in recent years. But yeah, we do more business in a day on Valentine's Day than we do in other weeks. So it's a very intensive time for us.
So the problem is, you know, you're dealing with a perishable, so you can't just start. I mean, when do you start preparing for something like this?
We actually get our flowers on order. We let the farms know what we're looking for flowers way back in December, because they have to have enough lead time to grow this product for the industry. So we're placing our orders for our roses and all of that stuff is happening back in December. The flowers all are in movement, shall we say, right now. They're being shipped, you know, to the various stores and that sort of thing. They're moved via what we call cold chain. So they're kept cold while they're being transported. So they're almost in like a state of suspended animation. And then we will begin processing like a few days before Valentine's Day, because it does take some time to rehydrate these flowers. Then once they've been kind of brought out of suspended animation, we want a little bit of time to get them drinking again and get them started opening. And then we actually start designing them into arrangements like the day or two before.
So then it's all hands on deck.
It literally is all hands on deck. Everybody on my staff pretty much works. And then I ask them to ask their family and friends to come in and help. So I have moms of some of my staff coming in. I have husbands of some of my staff members coming in because we need extra delivery drivers. We need people to answer the phones, all of those things. So you don't have to be a skilled floral designer to work in floral shop on Valentine's Day. If you can drive a car or pick up a telephone, you could be helpful.
Nicole Campbell, our guest today, and she is the owner of Petal Pusher Floral Studio in Green Bay, and she's also president of the Wisconsin and Upper Michigan Florist Association. We can talk with her a little about that. She's going to be with us right up until 12:30, and you'll have a chance to ask your question right after we take a quick look at the news. We'll be back with our guest, Nicole Campbell. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at flowers and the florist industry here in Wisconsin. The florist industry, February is its biggest month of the year. And Nicole Campbell is with us. She is the owner of Petal Pusher Floral Studio. Petal Pusher Floral Studio in Green Bay, and Nicole's the lead designer there, also grows her own flowers when the weather allows. She's president of the Wisconsin and Upper Michigan Florist Association as well. So I hope you'll join in with your questions. Maybe share why flowers bring you happiness. Do you have problems keeping your flower arrangements going for any length of time? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Ann emailed us, what do you do to protect yourself and your employees from the chemicals in cut flowers? I'm trying to think of the chemicals that might be in cut flowers. To talk about that.
Yeah. That's part of the reason that we're passionate about having our own flower farm. Because our own farm, we don't use any pesticides. We grow as cleanly as we possibly can. When flowers are imported from South America or Holland or California, we can't control what is being used on those products. And there are some pesticides that are required for rose production and things of that nature. A lot of designers do design with gloves on if you're sensitive to any of those sorts of things. And obviously, we would not recommend anybody consume any of these flowers. You know, sometimes people will call us and ask about edible options, and none of those would be considered safe for that. But yeah, as long as you're not consuming them or ingesting them, you know, and you're just admiring them, you shouldn't have to worry about any of those pesticides. But if you're concerned about exposure when you're handling them, gloves is always a good option.
So, and these, you have suppliers that may come from other parts of the country, as you say.
Yeah, all over the world.
Or the world, mm-hmm. Yeah. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it really is a worldwide industry. And especially, obviously, being in Wisconsin, we can't grow things year-round. Our seasons just don't really allow that. So, for example, most roses come from South America. Ecuador is the biggest producer for those. All of the tulips usually come out of Holland in the beginning of the year. Then we start to get them from Canada. Peonies come from Holland. And then as the seasons progress, Alaska is actually a big exporter of peonies now because they have those long days over the summer and it's a later season than what the rest of the world can produce. So it's a global marketplace. And obviously there's that huge auction in Holland that so many flowers move through and then are distributed to florists all over.
It's an amazing process for sure. So what's the most popular flower for Valentine's Day? Is it the rose?
It is. It's a classic, you know, and it will always have its place. But here, I think because it is the middle of winter in Wisconsin, we actually see tulips as a really popular choice because it's that reminder that spring is coming, but we know they're a ways away in our own gardens yet. So being able to have tulips on your table in the middle of February, I think is just a highlight for us because it's still winter or supposed
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, and they're beautiful. I mean,
they are.
Yeah, and it's something you just... Oh, tulips. You just think about them in spring, and so it's a pleasant surprise for sure to get them. What are your tips for someone looking to order a beautiful Valentine's bouquet, you know, a calling, you know, where do you go and all that sort of thing?
I always recommend to people, if you're calling in and you're really unsure of what you want, ask the designer that you're talking to on the phone what they would like. Because we're innately selfish creatures. We want to work with the prettiest flowers in the cooler. So if somebody calls up and they're unsure of what they want to have sent, I want to suggest whatever I have on my shelf that is the most stunning thing I can work with. So that's always good because, and our inventory changes every day. You know, it's a perishable product. So there's new flowers coming in and going out every single day. So talking with the designer about what they would want to work with. And then anytime you're calling a florist, make sure you're finding a florist that has an actual physical address in the city that you're calling. There are a lot of what we call order gatherers out there now that you can find online. And all they're going to do is charge you an extra fee and then relay the order through a local florist. So you wind up paying for something that you're not getting more flowers for.
So, yeah, that's a good tip. I mean, you want to... So in other words, you want to look for look at the florist and then what's their address?
Make sure that, because a lot of times if you search for, hey, a florist in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you'll get some order gatherers that'll come up as your top search results who actually are florists in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They just have themselves listed as such. So make sure you're getting a florist that's actually within the zip code your delivery is going to or has a physical address in that city.
So talk a bit more about your own farm.
Yeah, we're really proud of that. There's a lot of farms are starting to get established in Wisconsin. And that's a really wonderfully exciting thing to say because as the previous caller mentioned, you know, now we have control over what's being used on our products, how they're being grown. And that's important to us. So we do everything really naturally and cleanly without the use of pesticides out there. And it allows us to grow things that we can't otherwise access. Not all flowers handle shipping well, you know. So if something is a very delicate flower that can't handle being transported, the only way we can get it is from a local farm, be it our own or another farm. So that's great because it lets some other flowers come back into use that we kind of had shied away from because they couldn't handle being transported. And now we can have them in our designs again, which is really wonderful.
What are some examples?
The biggest one I would say is Cosmos daisies. And, you know, if you're a gardener in Wisconsin, you know what those look like. But they can't handle being shipped. So unless we can get them locally, we can't get them at all. So that's a big one. And obviously the flowers coming off of our farm are fresher than anything that we can bring in because you're going to have a little bit of time in transit while those flowers are being shipped that will ultimately affect their vase life. So we like to have that local option too for freshness.
Yeah, I would think that'd be, so you're growing those on your farm. Is this like 2 acres or is this, what do you got?
Good guess. Yes, it's exactly just about 2 acres. we split production between perennials, you know, that'll come back for us every year. A lot of those are Wisconsin native prairie plants. My degree is in plant biology, so I like to get kind of nerdy about some of the plant choices. And then the other half is annuals that we replant every year.
Well, that makes good sense. You can join in too, by the way. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And we're going to be hearing from, let's go to Mark in Bowler. Mark, hi, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Howdy. I heard you mention peonies from Alaska, and I worked at the Perfect Peony Flower Farm in Homer for 2 different years. And when it gets to be busy in June and July, we process thousands and thousands of them. In fact, one day we shipped out 75,000 of them on a FedEx truck, and they all go out by air. And Rita, who runs the place, has 3 different walk-in coolers, and she's able to keep those from July until October in suspended, not animation, but in suspension, like you had mentioned. Just thought I'd add that to your show.
Well, thanks, Mark, for calling. Homer, Alaska.
Yeah, it is really remarkable when you keep that, like he said, when you hold it suspended like that. When the flower is cut, if you keep it dry, dark, and cold, it just kind of shuts down and just goes to sleep for a little bit. And so, yeah, like he said, those peonies that are coming into bloom in June and July can be held in that state all the way, like you mentioned, into October. And it really is just a little bit of science magic behind the scenes, which is remarkable.
Well, let's talk about once it gets to my house, because they die quickly, or at least seem to. What are some tips to share with us for taking care of cut flowers at home?
Yeah. Everybody's familiar with that little packet of flower food that you usually get with the flowers. Read the directions. That is the most important thing. Most people just rip it open, dump it in the vase, and add the water. But there's actually directions on there about how much food is supposed to go in depending on how much water you're using. And that proportion can make a big difference in affecting the vase life. So following those directions correctly is important. It's actually better to not use the food at all if you're going to use it wrong. So follow the directions.
Well, I have never looked at the direction, so maybe that's why I have a problem.
Yeah, that will definitely help. Room temperature water, too. Most people think cold water, but starting them out in room temperature water is always a good idea. Making sure you give them a fresh cut with a clean knife or pruners. And as soon as you cut that stem, you want to cut off about 1 inch and then put them right into water. Don't let them lay on the counter and then put them into water. They got to go right into water.
Yeah, I was told to try and cut them while they're in water or running water. And
yeah, and that has been a bit of advice, but it can be a little bit impractical for people. So we don't have that necessary expectation, though there are fancy underwater cutters you can buy out there now. But most people don't have one of those lying around at home. So just a clean cut and going right into water usually is enough. And then making sure that none of the leaves or petals or anything are falling under that water line, because that just encourages bacterial growth. And that can be a real problem for flowers in a vase.
Well, that's another thing I've done wrong now that I think about it.
Yep. You don't want to see anything just below that water line, because that'll just get that water really murky really fast.
Maureen in Manitowoc has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Larry. I want to share something that I learned from your show probably well over 10 years ago, and that is that you go out now and you cut some dogwood branches that are such pretty red ones, put them in water, and you will see leaves and then eventually blossoms, and they're going to be so pretty in whatever arrangement you use.
Oh, I had forgotten that, Maureen. Thanks for that reminder. Nicole, comment?
Yeah, there are a lot of beautiful things that can be foraged. You know, if you have some shrubs in your yard or something like that, or even if you buy that bundle from the grocery store, don't be afraid, like Maureen suggested, to go in and prune a couple of additional branches to give some additional structure and that sort of thing. And if you have pussy willow or curly willows or any of those willows, those usually, when you cut them, if you use them in a vase, it will not only leaf out, but it will also form roots at the bottom. If you've ever experienced that, they'll root in water, and then that can be planted out and can be another shrub in the yard if you want. So,
oh boy. Maureen, thank you very much for that reminder and comment. Appreciate it. Karen in Madison, we'll go to you now. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a question you made me think about many years ago. My mother passed away, and her favorite flower was Queen Anne's lace, which I always said I still love it myself. It's a beautiful, I think of it as a wildflower, but I've since learned it's considered invasive. And, you know, you see it in the ditches a lot. And first of all, how, as a florist, is that something you would ever grow intentionally? And second of all, what's your thought about using, you know, wildflowers like that and, you know, to sell and, you know, in that way? I thought it was, like I say, it was just something that kind of interesting to me.
Sure.
Yeah, we do use Queen Anne's lace. It's not something that we grow at our farm, but as you mentioned, it is invasive. So we do have some that exist on our property. There are other flower substitutes that look quite a bit like Queen Anne's lace that we grow instead. One is called Ami Green Mist. And then there's a chocolate lace flower. They're a little bit easier to control. They don't have quite as many invasive tendencies, and they're a little more durable. If you've ever experienced Queen Anne's lace, can sometimes be a little finicky when put in, when cut and put into water. The Ami Green Mist is just a little bit, has a little more longevity to it. So we do prefer that one. But yeah, we are totally here for that wildflower look. As you know, having a florist that's a little bit more of a natural and organic style, we love embracing that kind of aesthetic in our design. But of course, you want to make sure that you're harvesting responsibly and in property that you have permission to do so and that sort of thing. So we would want to make sure that people are being mindful of where the flowers are coming from and that they're okay flowers for them to harvest if they are going to go out and do some wildflower gathering.
Yeah, Karen, good points. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. John wanted to know, how do you design or how does the design of a bouquet affect its longevity, or does it?
It does. The most challenging thing with flowers, like, for example, if you think about a long stem rose, the flower's up at the top and then that cut end is where that stem is drawing water. As much as we love long stem roses, the longer that stem becomes, the harder it is for that stem to move that fluid up to that rose at the top that needs to open. So actually doing designs that are more compact and low usually equates to longer vase life, because it's not as challenging for that rose to draw that water up, for example. So that is one thing we usually encourage. Or if you've ever had an experience where you have roses and that head nods over, oftentimes cut it down shorter and put it in a low compact design and you'll get that flower to pop back up.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah, if you have a little bowl, if you start with a taller and then switch them to a small, kind of almost like a bowl.
Yeah, you can have a whole nother run of them of enjoyment.
Should you keep your cut flowers in the sun, or is it, I mean, does it matter?
It really does. Sometimes we'll hear from people, well, I put it in a sunny window. Plants want a nice sunny window, but once it's a fresh cut flower, it doesn't. That can really cause them to warm up too much. So we would not recommend a nice sunny spot. Cool, some light, but not sun, it would be preferred.
So indirect light.
Indirect light, yep. And someplace away from cats, pets, things like that too.
Yeah, it's hard for me to have flowers in the house because the cats, two cats, Coco and Tiger, I'm amazed that you can keep your kitty in a florist shop.
She's a very good girl. I have two cats at home and they would not make the cut for being floral shop cats, but Pippa is a very good girl, so she stays out of stuff.
Oh, so what's new in the flower? I mean, are there new flowers? Are there, what's?
Yeah, there are always new flowers. There are always, I shouldn't say new flowers. There's very rarely a new flower, but they're coming up with advancements on flowers that we've had for a long time. And, you know, like everything else, there's popularity. Things ebb and flow in terms of what the consumers want to see. Ranunculus and anemones right now, and peonies and dahlias are the stars of the show. But in the exciting world of what's new in flowers, there's a breeder out of Japan called Suntory who just bred the world's first blue mum, which is, blue is a difficult color for flowers.
Yes.
So to have a blue mum hit the market was a very exciting thing. So,
And yeah, I guess there have been some painted new blue mums out there.
Yes, yes. This one is genetically blue. It's not the dyed blue that you can sometimes see in like grocery store bouquets and that sort of thing.
So what about proms? I'm thinking back to my senior prom, which I bought. My girlfriend wanted an orchid, which at the time was really expensive.
They're still pretty expensive. So that hasn't changed much. But yes, we do a lot of work for prom. And now their boutonnieres are not the typical little flower that attaches on the lapel. They're a little card that inserts into the pocket of the jacket. So that's a new trend that's happening for the gentlemen. And then we're seeing the ladies, instead of wearing wrist corsages, they're carrying little bouquets of flowers instead of wearing them. So fun new things that are happening.
So what do you do carrying them? Yeah. It's kind of weird. I mean, if you're dancing or whatever.
I don't think they take it with to the dance part, but they look really charming for all the photos ahead of time.
Okay, got it. And someone else is wondering, how often do you change the water in a vase?
As soon as you see it start to get cloudy or murky is ideal. And anytime you change that water, you want to go back to room temperature water and give those stems a fresh cut again. So when you dump that water out, clean your vase with soap and water, put room temperature water back in, and recut those stems.
And so room temperature, you pour some water out, let it sit.
Well, you can have it, you know, kind of go with room temperature coming out of the tap, just kind of gauge it. It doesn't have to necessarily sit.
Are there any classics that never go out of style?
Oh, absolutely. Roses being one of them. I mean, they're still my favorite flower, hands down. But, you know, roses, orchids are another classic. Hydrangea, calla lilies, those will never change.
And you're going to be, well, you're a busy gal anyway, but you're going to be a really busy gal in just a few days. So is it the 13th or is it the 14th itself that's the busiest?
It's the 14th for sure. Yep.
Lots of walk-in, I imagine.
Lots of walk-ins, lots of phone calls from people at work going, oh, my coworker just got flowers. I better send something to my significant other. So it sneaks up on people, but we're used to that.
Nicole, lots of fun talking with you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Man. Perhaps we can do this again. Enjoy talking
Sounds
with
great.
You.
Thank you.
Nicole Campbell and her... her store is, her florist shop is called Petal Pushers Floral Studio in Green Bay, and she ships them around, I'm sure. So you go online to her website, type in Petal Pushers Floral Studio, and you're going to find her. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow we'll take a look at the Packers' history in Super Bowls and then look at this year's game. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.